At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
A 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome, everybody, in to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. Check out all things The Ticket at theticketfm.com. Also, YouTube, podcast platforms, Amazon Prime, television, radio, and all the social media accounts that you can find. All right. Also, Carriker Chronicles, CarrickerChronicles.com. Also, the Tube of You YouTube. Type in Carriker Chronicles. This is the Adam Carriker Show, the show where we give you unique insights, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I have a whole lot of fun in the process. Join us Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 4 days a week. And if you're so inclined, on Wednesdays with Steve Taylor, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. Grab your lunch. Come join us, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully, you'll learn something in the process. Chances are like 49% to 51%. But today, we're going to talk about Nebraska's last four games and how I think it's going to be a wild ride. But we're going to kick the show off. And I should mention, we're going to be joined at 12:25 by former Blackshirt Nick Henrich. All right. And then the AC poll is going to close out the show today. Oh, and I cannot forget, we're actually going to do this throughout the show. All right. Your comments, your calls, your comments, your thoughts, concerns, questions, otherwise, send them in. If Jake likes it, he's going to let me know and we'll answer that question pronto. What's that number, Jake?
402-464-5685, the Sartor Hamann Jewelers text line.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do that throughout the show today. So Jake can hit me up at any point during the next hour. All right, but let's start out. The Big Ten admits they're wrong. I know. This is not new news. It's less than 24 hours old, though, so it's still not old just yet. Matt Rhule should not have been flagged either time this year. And apparently not Ryan Day either. Ryan Day literally walks out onto the field, throws the biggest hissy fit I've seen since like 2 days ago when my 7-year-old threw one. Actually, she doesn't really throw them. It tends to be another kid, but I'll keep that kid's name out of my mouth. Throws a gigantic hissy fit like he's a 5-year-old. Throws his headset. Doesn't get flagged. And if you watch film, go back and watch the Purdue game of when Rhule gets flagged. Yeah, throws the headset. Doesn't walk out on the field. Doesn't throw a hissy fit. Really just threw the headset. Again, his words, fighting for Nebraska. Hey, I love that. I got no problem with that. And I believe him. Ryan Day walks out onto the field, which Rhule did not do. Throws his headset, which Rhule did do. And then throws a gigantic hissy fit, which Rhule did not do. Now, your definition of a hissy fit can vary here or there. But Rhule made much more demonstrative actions. And if you read a few more lips, said a few more colorful words as well. So the Big Ten admits that Matt Rhule shouldn't have gotten flagged either time. Then Ohio State throws stuff on the field. I wonder where they got that idea from. Wonderful precedent you set, referees of the Texas-Georgia game. So thank you for that. Luckily, Ohio State didn't take it to the extent that Texas and Georgia did. But they don't get fined or penalized. When it comes to the Texas-Georgia bottles on the field and Texas getting fined $250,000, which if you're making the amount of money that Texas is, it was really just a drop in the bucket. It sounds bigger than it actually is to Texas. To somebody else, Ball State, Toledo, a lot more money. To Texas, eh. I didn't like that. I believe in that game they got the call right because at first they called PI. Texas intercepted the ball. They called pass interference. It wasn't pass interference. The student section throws a crap load of bottles all over the place. So now there's dead time. Sarkisian has to walk on the field, put his hands up, tell him to stop. During this dead time, because this was not reviewed, it's played over and over on the big gigantic video board there. The refs watch it, change their mind. Now, did they change it to the right call? Yes. Did they set a horrible precedent? Yes. They set a precedent. If you throw a bunch of stuff on the field, you throw a big enough fit, we don't have the backbone. We're not prepared enough to stand on our own 2 feet. We're not even going to take the time to actually review it. We're just going to respond to your hissy fit and change the call. It's the precedent that was set that was not good. So go to the Ohio State game. And again, these fans did not take it to the same extent that the Longhorn fans did. But they throw stuff on the field. Set, again, wonder where they got the idea. Bad precedent's been set. They didn't go as far as Texas did. But here's what I don't like. I don't like that Ohio State's not going to be fined because you're sending another message that says this is okay. This is okay to do. Well, what's next? I mean, this is beyond a slippery slope. We're in the middle of a river going downstream, headed towards a waterfall, because this could get crazy. Now, I'm the type of guy that I grew up watching the Malice in the Palace. All right? I watched, was it the Indiana Pacers and Ron Artest go up in the stands and beat the crap out of, I'm going to be honest, you watch what those fans were doing? I mean, they deserve to get the crap kicked out of them, but that doesn't mean you should actually go do it. I'm old enough to remember that like it was yesterday, probably about 20 years ago, give or take at this point. To me, it's just it's a very dangerous precedent. It's a bad precedent. And to not even hand any repercussions down to Ohio State at all, in my opinion, just accentuates the point. And I sure hope I'm wrong, but I wonder what the next step is the next time a bunch of fans get mad. Because here's the other thing. Officiating is not good in college football. It is bad. It is not Nebraska. It is not even the Big Ten. It is college football as a whole. Referees are human beings. Nobody expects perfection. I do think we installed instant replay all those years ago when we were afraid of messing up the flow of the game. And we didn't want to slow down the game so we could get calls right. I don't even know if we're batting 500 on getting calls right from instant replay. And then there's times they're not replaying plays that should be reviewed, not reviewing plays that should be reviewed, a la the Nebraska game where we had a first down by 2 yards. That ref literally had to think about it. The ref gets the ball, literally has to walk backwards because the ball's set down on the ground. Running backs don't stand up and toss the ball backwards. They might try to inch it forwards. He literally had to pick up the ball and walk backwards to respot the ball where he apparently thought it should be spotted. No, we don't review that. We don't look at that. The Big Ten admits that wrong. That's wrong. I think one of the most asinine things for me, not ASA 7, not ASA 8, it's ASA 9, okay, is that referees are one of the few jobs that is done publicly that is not held accountable publicly. Okay, think about politicians. They got to answer publicly. They got to do interviews, things of that nature. And I know that's a whole rabbit hole. I get that. Coaches, they got to go to press conferences afterwards. Players, they got to go to press conferences afterwards. Dylan Raiola is a 19-year-old teenager, and he's sitting in front, accounting for the good, the bad. If he's thrown an interception, if he's thrown three, he's got to answer for it. But these grown men who are human beings that nobody expects perfection from, but I expect a lot higher batting average with instant replay installed. They're not even full-time employees, by the way. They can just leave afterwards. They just leave. I've always been kind of opposed to referees and officials having to do a press conference afterwards. Never really heard it brought up a ton before, but there's a reason it's been brought up now, because you could see how that could get carried away. How some angry fans could take it too far, how maybe some drunk angry fans could take it too far. But coaches and players have to do it. And the officiating is so egregious at this point. Bad does not describe it. Awful was me putting it kindly the other day when I put that out on social media. Egregious, horrifically horrible, just beyond bad. Jay Foreman sat here. I saw the clip. He said he might have to contemplate not even taking his team out there if he was the coach, because he's got to think of the well-being and safety of his own team if he were the coach.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
There needs to be a level of accountability like there's never been before because the stakes are higher than they've ever been. Honestly, with the way this sport is growing and the money that's on the line and the short leashes that these men have to do their jobs, aka college football coaches, with the amount of time that it takes now, you've got to recruit your own team. You got to recruit high school kids. You got to recruit the transfer portal. You got to be a GM. You got to be a coach. You got a game plan. You got to watch film. Being a college football coach is exponentially harder than being an NFL coach. I don't even think it's close anymore. I've always thought it was harder before anyways because recruiting trumps drafting as far as difficulty. You sit in a dark room for hours on end. You evaluate draft picks. You draft who you want. Recruiting, you got to sit in a dark room. Of course, there's all these recruiting services. How much do you trust them? Matt Rhule likes to find his own players, his own diamonds in the rough, so to speak. I love that, by the way. So he's got to watch hours of film on end, and then you've got to recruit. Not just high school players, your team, transfer portal guys. You got to basically evaluate everyone in college football, or at least the guys who enter the transfer portal, I guess. But as soon as someone enters the transfer portal, you need to have an idea of who they are, what they can do. Can they help you? Can they not? You can't be waiting a week to try to figure it all out. By then, they probably got 14 offers. Maybe they've already committed. All I'm saying is I would have never been on board with something like this before, but a job that is done so publicly that has such an impact on so many people and so many things as officiating, which is not easy to do. I want that to be known. There needs to be because it's gotten so bad. It's inarguable. It's not even debatable. You got Ohio State fans that are flipping out about the game. Nebraska fans flipping out about the game. Big Ten officials are like, yep, got this wrong. That's 4 things they got wrong that were gigantic. I didn't feel like listing them all out again. Like there now needs to be a level of accountability for officials. It could be a slippery slope because does somebody take it too far afterwards? I hope not. I hope you just treat them like players and coaches. And once the press conference is over, it's evaluated, talked about, and it doesn't go too far, to be clear. When I'm talking about something like that. All right, you got any other thoughts there, Jake, on the officials before we move on to the last 4 games in Nebraska's season, which is going to be truly, I'm predicting, one heck of a wild ride. And if you think about it, the last 2 weeks have already been an insane roller coaster of a wild ride.
Yeah, I just always think too with the referees is, you know, obviously they're not going to be the most, they're the least favorite people in the city sometimes. I mean, so yeah. I think how quickly they have to probably go back and change. So you don't look like a referee to get out of town. I always wondered that sometimes because you can feel it, you know, sometimes at Morris Stadium, but specifically at a basketball game where the whole, you know, there's 13,000 people there that basically want to get their hands on you. So, no, I agree with you. I think, you know, you could have some accountability, but specifically, you know, all these, like Matt Rhule saying, all these notes he's getting on Sunday about, oh, yeah, we made this mistake. Yeah, I guess that probably hurt you guys. You know, it's like, that doesn't do any good. You don't like, thanks for admitting your error.
It's too late. And there's too many of them.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. You
no,
more, go ahead.
No, you're right.
It's too late and there's too many. My issue isn't it's too late. There's nothing you can do about that. There's just too many. Just too many is all I'm saying. And I can't help but wonder, because I know referees get evaluated, just like players and coaches. Go to Pro Football Focus. Good Lord, you can learn anything about everyone, about everything they've done the entire year, including how many bottles of water they drank and how well they did it. Okay? What if it was more publicly known? How? Because I know that refs sometimes, they're, I don't want to say punished, but like maybe fined or suspended. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. When somebody does something wrong and you don't know what the repercussions are, it can just make people madder. Maybe if there's a level of accountability, like, hey, this is what I saw, this is why we called it at a press conference, maybe people are, there's more of an understanding. Like Matt Rhule has a really good ability at press conferences to put things in scope. People are mad about certain things. He gets in front of that mic and he's exceptionally well in front of the microphone, does exceptionally well in front of the microphone, but he can all of a sudden put certain things to bed that otherwise would have just spread like wildfire. Not everybody has that capability, but everybody should get that opportunity. Does that make sense, Jake? Like, I think that could help with how mad people are afterwards if there's an understanding. Hey, this is what I saw. Hey, we flat out got it wrong. We'll admit it now, you know, not 48 hours later. Hey, this is the repercussions that I've got, or whatever the case may be. Like, we know Matt Rhule was flagged twice. Okay, that hurt the team. 15-yard penalties, etc. We know the repercussions in the moment. We have no idea what the refs. I'm not saying these refs are terrible people. They're human beings. They're trying to do a job. They're doing a job that isn't all that fun to do, and it's very difficult. I'm not saying any of that is unfair to say because it's all 100% true. What I'm saying is there needs to be a level of accountability and a public understanding like there's never been, and I would not have been in favor of before, because the stakes are higher than they've ever been, and the officiating is worse than it's ever been. All right. That wasn't supposed to take that long. All right. Nebraska's last four games, going to be a wild ride. We're going to dive more into UCLA on Thursday. So as far as UCLA specifically, I'm going to keep this more topical. They're 2-5 on the year. I actually interviewed a UCLA insider yesterday, USA Today sports reporter. I asked him what his thoughts were when Chip Kelly left. I figured he'd be mad and offended. Left to be the head coach at UCLA, left being the head coach at UCLA to be an OC at another Big Ten school. He like all but started dancing and celebrating. They were happy when Chip Kelly left. I think Chip Kelly didn't want to be there. I think the recruiting wasn't on par. And now they've got a UCLA legend there. They're having a bit of a rough season so far. I will say this. Don't underestimate UCLA. Like, they've had a brutal schedule. They've played several top 10 teams. They've only played one team that isn't 500 or has a winning record out of their seven games. They actually beat Rutgers up in Piscataway. Pardon me, in their last game. So we'll dive more into them. Their linebacking core is the strength of their team. Their run game is the best part of their offense. And their defense is ahead of their offense at the moment. 2-5. A game that is very, very important to Nebraska football, in my humble opinion. All right, you go to the bye week. USC. This is a team that's 4-4. The 11-time national champions with more Heisman Trophy winners than any other school. The USC Trojans. This is a team that beat LSU right out the gate. Was surprised up in Ann Arbor by Michigan. Just got out physical. Wisconsin, who isn't half bad, by the way. They smoke them at home, 38-21. Ran away with it in the second half after actually trailing for a while in the first half. Then go on the road to Minnesota. Lose late in the game. They got out Big Ten, honestly. Minnesota just out physical. Physical. Then 4th-and-1. A minute to go. P.J. Fleck rows the boat. They go for it. They score the game-winning touchdown. They beat USC. Minnesota does. Pardon me again. Penn State. That was their last game. I'm sorry. That was not their last game. They have played Maryland and Rutgers since. That was a great game. That game came down to the wire. Penn State's tight end is a man amongst preschoolers. It is insane how good he is. 17 catches on that day. Nobody else on the team had more than 3 for Penn State. But USC, they actually outrushed Penn State, outgained Penn State, had them at home, still didn't win the game. This USC team, the strength is in their skill positions. Their offensive line is very young. All freshmen, redshirt freshmen, except and sophomores, except for their center. And then they somehow found a way to lose at Maryland. They've been going back and forth across the country like crazy. And then they beat Rutgers. All right. We go on to USC's 4-4. I still think that's going to be when that game rolls around after the bye week and they're after a bye and they're fighting. They haven't given up on their season. Nebraska should be fighting. I think that's actually going to be an entertaining game. That game has stuck out to me ever since last summer. I haven't talked about it a ton because, you know, we had all these other games before. But that game to me, I think, is going to be very up and down, very entertaining, very unpredictable. Wisconsin. Talk about a team that's in an interesting season. All right, they beat Western Michigan, beat South Dakota. Don't exactly smoke them, but beat them both by two scores. Then they get boat raced at home by Alabama, lose their quarterback. They lost 42-10 on a national stage. Lose their quarterback for the season. Then they go out to USC, as I mentioned a minute ago. Actually left. Actually led for a good portion of the first half. Then USC pulls away, wins by 17, 38-21 in the second half. They go to Purdue, and everyone's like, oh, they're starting quarterbacks out. They're starting running backs out. They're hurting. Nope. Go boat race Purdue 52-6. Go boat race Rutgers 42-7. Beat Northwestern 23-3. And in the second half, Penn State puts in their backup quarterback. Otherwise, it was down to the wire in the first half as far as neck and neck who was going to pull this game out. Penn State ends up winning 28-13. Wisconsin is a team who's a little bit unpredictable, kind of like USC. But they're a team that's a lot better than I thought they were going to be once their starting quarterback and running back went down. And then Iowa, our good buddies, our good friends. You know, they've actually scored 40 points two of their last three games. I actually thought that was illegal for them to do that. I didn't know they were allowed to do that. All right. In three of their past five games, they scored 30 or 40 points or more. Four of their past six, 30 or 40 points or more. They're actually putting up points this year. All right, they lost to Iowa State, lost to Ohio State, lost to Michigan State. That's really the only surprise. They play Wisconsin this weekend, but they've beaten teams they're supposed to. And Northwestern, they throttled Washington. I didn't see a throttling coming. Beat Minnesota, beat Troy, and beat Illinois State. As always, that's going to be a one-score game that comes down to the wire. It's going to be a wild ride, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're going to take a break. As always, let me know your thoughts, comments, questions, concerns. Otherwise, hit that text line. Nick Henrich is going to join us right after this.